All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, October 29th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have some NBA and MLB action as well as NHL on tap for today. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. Feels like we actually have quite a bit of questions today, which is totally cool. So we will work our way through these here, going one at a time down the list. Looks like we got duplicate question here in both YouTube and Office Hours. I think we're going to start there. And then there are a host of other questions here that I will get to. So let me get these queued up. And we will get things off and running. All right, couple more. And last one as of right now. All right, cool. I think we're ready to rock and roll. So, first question of the day. Can you show how to reserve and enter 150 lineups for NBA on FanDuel and how to late swap? Okay, cool. So we could definitely do this. Honestly, I find it way easier to reserve on my phone. I don't know if you guys do that or not. I really like it. I think it's easy to just go in. Let me see if I can like do it right here. So you go on your phone, right? You go to like the sport you want to play, go to the contest you want to play. And when you scroll to the bottom, which should be able to show this, there's like a button that says reserve without lineup. There it says review and enter, and then it says reserve without lineup, which is like the bottom one. That's what I use. I use that reserve without lineup. You decide how many lineups you want. So you want 150. You scroll all the way down to 150. And then you enter the contest that way. So when you do that, and I'll just like do an example here. It's like I'm going to do it on my phone. And I'm just going to enter one. But like the difference is clicking the one versus the 150. Okay. I reserve my entry. Let's say I do that. So after you reserve, what happens is the lineups go to your upcoming tab on FanDuel. This is where you can access them from SaberSim. So like I'm in SaberSim, I'm on today's FanDuel slate. I go to this upload button. I'm going to click this download template file from FanDuel button. Okay, it's going to take me to FanDuel, to the page I need to be on. Here, right, I reserved one lineup. Now I can get the file from this page and take it over to SaberSim. So the big thing here is like whatever browser you're using SaberSim in, log into FanDuel on the same browser. So like I could have like a SaberSim tab and then a FanDuel tab. Now I go to upload my entry file to SaberSim. This is you telling SaberSim, hey, these are the contests I'm playing today. These are how many entries in the contest I am going to play. All right. So now I click this button, takes me to the upcoming page. On the upcoming page, I need to click the CSV edit button. I do that and it'll say download a CSV template in like a blue hyperlink format. I click that, downloads the file. I go, I grab the file and I drop it into SaberSim. Now SaberSim updates my contest and it says, hey, you have one contest with one entry. Because I have a template in SaberSim starred, it auto creates a group for that one contest and that one entry. So that's how I would do it. Reserve on my phone, go to SaberSim, use the hyperlink, go to FanDuel, get my file, bring my file back into FanDuel, back from FanDuel back into SaberSim, and then I have my template starred, ready to go, and now I'm ready to build lineups. So that's kind of like the setup. Now, as far as late swapping goes, okay, I can't do like a great demo of late swap, but we have a really, really good tutorial on late swap, okay? That one is in our SaberSim tutorials. So you go to the top right corner menu, you go to help, you go to SaberSim tutorials using late swap, okay? There is a video, there are steps, there's a table of contents, there's written videos, written documents, screenshots along the way, and then we have a whole frequently asked questions section as well, which should capture most of your questions. If you have more after that, our team is available throughout the day, usually through about 8 p.m. Eastern, more often than not, like regularly. You can always reach us via this question mark. You know, it says, hey, we usually get back to you within 20 minutes. This is probably faster around slate start times. Our team makes a concentrated effort to be around when sports are starting. And you can just shoot us a message and we will get back to you from there. But I think that covers most of the questions you had here. So let me know if there's any follow-up and we can always circle back. But I'm just updating something really quick. All right. Next question. Good morning. I only play in single entry contests. Should I use SaberScore or old SaberScore? Also, when should/would I use the SaberScore and old SaberScore? Maybe a video focused on single entry contests. Okay. So, I think this is pretty straightforward answer. I would always use new SaberScore or just SaberScore. Okay. Old SaberScore, I think, is no longer important. The reason it is still there is because there is probably somebody who prefers it over the new SaberScore, and we don't want to take it away. So, like, when we add new things to the app, we usually try not to take something away from somebody and only add new. So I know it can be a little confusing having both. I will say that in our back testing has shown that the new version of SaberScore tests better than the old version. So we recommend going with the new one. If we didn't think it was valuable, we wouldn't have made it. But this is another one. It's in our tutorials, how SaberScore works. This breaks down kind of the new versus the old and why we think the new is better. So I will drop that as a link here. I'll actually also drop the late swap one. I know I didn't drop this one in here either. So I will drop both of those, but we would always recommend using new SaberScore, and old SaberScore is there just for people who want to use it for their own purposes. All right. When it comes to the minutes played for basketball, it says projected minutes. So how can we get a feel for what a player's actual minutes will be? Okay. So this minutes column, this is the average minutes that a player plays in our sims. So like say we're running 25,000 game sims for the Pelicans and Nuggets. And then we're showing Jokic with 34.25 minutes, okay? When we add up all those sims and we add up all his minutes across all those sims and divide them, he on average plays 34.25 minutes. This is, you know, our minutes projection for him. Obviously, we don't know exactly how many minutes he's going to play. You know, what if this game ends up blowing out and he sits? What if this game goes to overtime? I feel like there's been a ton of overtime games so far this year, right? So we'll never know exactly how many minutes a player is going to play, but we can project it fairly accurately, right? We have data from this season. We have his historical data. We know how often he plays on average, right? So our team of data scientists work really hard to provide accurate projections, fantasy points per minute, minutes, and then overall projection. So I think that you can trust these numbers, and I think they're very strong. All right, next question. If I have the same lineup in multiple contests and I do late swap, does it change each of those to one min unique? I am specifically thinking about NBA, where I might put the same lineup into a few contests and then want to run late swap as news happens. Okay, so there is a way. Let's say I put, you know, one lineup into two contests, right? Very simple example. Now I go to late swap. What the builder will do automatically is it will give you a unique lineup for every entry that you have. Now, some people might not want that in certain scenarios, like the one you're describing. You're like, hey, I played one lineup in two contests, and I want to maintain the same lineup, okay? In order to do that, when you go to late swap, you'll see a button like this. Click this gear icon, go and turn on this group duplicates toggle. What this will do is that it will identify any lineup played in more than one contest, and then when it swaps it, it will only create one new version of the lineup and put that lineup into both contests. So this group duplicates toggle, turning it on is the action you want to take to achieve what you are describing. Hello, I am new here. Welcome. Yesterday when building NBA lineups, I was playing with the games table, setting an exposure in this tab, ensuring a game stack or game exposure. I think I locked in stacks and was thinking it was exposures. Thank you for your time and response. Okay, so let's just talk about these and the differences here. All right, so we come into the main slate for today. There's a couple different tabs, right? Players, teams, games, stack exposures, okay? Stack exposures basically describe how many players from the same team are in your lineup, right? So a three stack, for instance, right? We have like a three stack here. What this would mean is that it has three players from one team, and then it has no more than one player from any other teams, right? But what if it's a 3-3, right? Which is a little further down here. Let me remove the question, move my... A 3-3, right? This would mean that there are three players from two teams. It could be any two teams. It doesn't have to be in the same game, right? I could have three players from the Lakers and then three players from Boston in completely separate games, right? So this is just players on the same team are kind of the stacks, right? Games refer to players in the same game. However, this doesn't... Let's say I set a minimum game stack to Orlando, Detroit. What this could mean is that I have one player from Orlando and one player from Detroit, okay? I could have Banchero and I could have Cade Cunningham, right? That would be a game stack. So there's some small differences here where like our stack exposures start at like two, meaning like there must be more than one player from a team in order to get this to populate, like two players from Boston. But a game stack can be 1-1. So like that's like the only minor difference there is this is now two players in total from the same game. So that's the way to think about the differences between games and stack exposures. Stacks are like within a team. Game is within a game, but both must equal a minimum amount of players of two. So Hope I didn't confuse anybody with that, but happy to answer any follow-up. All right, next question. I would like to give kudos to the team. I and others inquired about the system and some verbiage not being new player friendly. The updated October videos have walkthroughs and examples from the starter package and good explanation for newer players. This shows the team listens and addresses feedback. Right on. Appreciate that. Yeah, our team has been, if you go to Saber School and you go to the Saber system, okay, we've been re-recording some Saber system videos. We did only have, I think we had three videos, right? And those have all been redone, and we are slowly expanding this, but we are listening, right? And we do hear the feedback. Sometimes it can take us a little bit, you know, to get all this work, you know, kind of planned and recorded and polished and done and get it into the app. So thank you for having some patience, but I am glad you are enjoying the new videos. So if you haven't seen them, you can check them out there. All right. Next question. I was debating on using Unique One ROI instead of portfolio for 20 to 25 max. Can you explain to me, like I am 5 years old, the difference between portfolio and ROI? Also, what's the main difference between SaberScore old and new? Okay. So we did cover this SaberScore one already. So I am going to go with the answer from earlier on that one. If you missed it, just rewind a little bit. It was like one of the earlier questions in the show. I do want to talk about the ROI and portfolio. And we can just do like a demo here. So let me build some lineups. And let me bring this entry file back in. So I'm going to bring this entry file in. It does only have one lineup, but I'm going to say I'm going to make it 20. So I'm going to say, hey, I want 20 lineups. And we're just going to build 500 lineups. And I'm going to build. And I feel like sometimes the best way to explain this is to do an example kind of on screen talking about how it works. So we're going to build some lineups. All right, lineups are finished. So the contest sim is running, which generates the ROI. And then now we're going to run the diversifier, which is the portfolio plus. So we're going to break all this down. All right. So we are now in the post build and we have generated some exposures. Okay. I think the easiest way to explain this is to look at a couple different things. Number one, you want to have your ROI column visible, okay? And then two is you probably want to have your exposures visible as well. All right, so I'm going to start with Unique's One ROI because it makes more sense. So when I sort by Unique's One and ROI, this is sorting highest ROI lineups to lowest. These are inflated right now because we were missing some ownerships for some teams. It was like Indy and Dallas, but it looks like they're coming in. So I bet if I reran this, it would lower. But either way, it sorts highest ROI to lowest. So Unique's One ROI is going to give you the 20 highest ROI lineups. Okay. Very, very straightforward here, right? Now what you'll notice is that the exposures that you get can be very concentrated. Our top exposure is 95%. Our second exposure is 80%, okay? Like really high numbers. And then our player pool has 56 players in it, okay? So this is Unique's One ROI, the simplest way I can explain it. Now, what portfolio does different, okay, is first off, it is using ROI. Okay, it's using these values. But what it's doing is it's looking at the contest sim results and it is figuring out, hey, when I play this contest, which lineups are actually the best to play together? Not just separate with highest ROI to low, but which lineups, one, help me win more often, and two, help me not lose as much as often either, right? So what it does is it uses the ROI as like its main number. We call it a source of truth. Like, hey, this is the number that we're optimizing around, okay? But then what it does is it figures out, well, maybe these lineups shouldn't be played in order. And maybe if I rearrange them slightly, they have better results like day to day, week to week, while you wait for like a beak, right? So here what this is saying is that, okay, your top lineup is always going to be your highest ROI, okay? But if you notice here, our second lineup is 3,000 ROI and our third lineup is 4,000 ROI. So what the builder has done here is it's basically decided that it is better to play this 3,000 ROI lineup before playing the 4,000 ROI lineup in third. So it's saying, hey, the first lineup matches better with the 3,000 than it does with the 4,000. And then it continues on. And then it says, okay, well, the fourth lineup, which is, we'll say, I'm just using whole numbers, like 1,000 ROI, matches up better with the three that came before it than this fifth lineup with a higher ROI. So one, it's only using positive ROI lineups. I know that is something people have asked. Like, it is only using positive ROI, but it might not be using them in order. It's picking the lineups in an intelligent way rather than just saying play highest ROI to low. And then you can see this here. Our top exposures before, remember, were like 95% and then 80%. Our top exposures with portfolio are 50% followed by 50%, right? So it's a lot flatter. It's not as concentrated. It also has more players in the player pool. Our other uniques, one ROI, I think, had 56 players. This has 59. So has a little bit more players, is a lot more spread out, and is picking lineups in a very intelligent way. So that is the only way I know how to explain this. We do have another tutorial on this one. This video and, remember, these are all videos plus articles. We'll also break down how it works as well. All right. Good question there. Next one. I've been trying to set up the rules for my models to express EV expected value. I think I did okay, but I know I could do better. Can you deep dive into setting up the rules for stacks, groups, and the aggregator to build lineups specifically for EV? Okay. Not 100% sure I'm following here, but I will talk about this. So as far as EV goes, right? And I see this is a question from a starter user, so I'll answer it from that regard. The primary variable, so right now, right, we're talking about portfolio plus and ROI, okay? When you're on starter, your diversity will say portfolio. It is not going to include the little plus. And you're not going to use, like, you're not going to have this ROI column. What portfolio uses is Saber score. So the same way we're saying, hey, portfolio plus is using ROI as the variable it's optimizing around as its source of truth, portfolio uses Saber score as its source of truth. Saber score is effectively the lineup's EV. It is effectively an ROI metric, but it is a different ROI metric. This portfolio plus uses the exact contest data. It's using the exact payout structure, prize pool, size of this 200K Wednesday NBA shot. The Saber score is using what we call a simple contest sim. It's like a baseline contest sim that we have kind of on like the back end, and then it uses that. So the Saber score numbers are technically ROIs here. Okay. So just think Portfolio Plus uses contest ROI, Portfolio uses Saber score. Okay. Now, if you want to see these like a snapshot, which is what I think you're talking about, you want to go to these aggregate metrics. I like to use average. I use projection ROI and if you're on starter, I would replace ROI with Saber score here. And you would just have these two. I think these two aggregate metrics can be very valuable to you. But as far as setting up any rules or anything like that, I'm not 100% sure what you're referring to. If you want to elaborate more, we can definitely go more in depth on it. All right. One more question if you can get to it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm new also and wanting to try the 150 max on FanDuel. Which plan would you suggest, the starter or ultimate plan for a week? Okay, so the way we break out the plans is if you have never had a win of $1,000, we recommend starting on the starter plan. The starter plan is designed to help you get your first $1,000 win after you reach that milestone, or if you're already past that milestone, then I would consider getting the ultimate trial. That is, you know, kind of like a graduation criteria that we kind of use here. So when debating, I would answer that question and then I would pick the appropriate plan. All right, next question. What is a way to set up a tournament type template? So we have three default templates here. I think are all really good. Now, there are some differences. So one group per contest. What this does is if I had two contests, it would create me two groups. Okay. If I use the direct fill template, and let's say I had two single entries, it would create me one group with two lineups, right? We could just like get rid of this top one. So the single entry or the direct fill would give me one group with two lineups. If I had two single entries, the all contests in one group would give me one group with one lineup, where the one lineup is going to be used in both contests. So I would generally recommend using one group per contest. I think it works really well. But you could also explore the other options if you prefer those. So you got to figure out which one you like. And then if you I don't really have recommendations about what you should do with it because I like the defaults here. So you can always experiment, but I think one of these three should mostly satisfy your needs. All right. Next question. Could you explain the sim diversity and correlation sliders? Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to the settings here, right, you're going to see these pop up. Correlation, sim diversity. Basically, there is correlation between players in the game sims where we're saying, hey, when Donovan Mitchell does good, Jaylen Brown also does good. You know, consider a situation where they're going back and forth, right? They're both shooters. They're trying to keep up with each other. So when Mitchell's making shots, Jaylen Brown is making more shots on the other end as well. Now there's negative correlation, right? Where it's saying, hey, you know, in the Sims, when Donovan Mitchell does good, these players with negative correlation tend to do bad. Thomas Bryant is a bench player, you know, for Cleveland. You know, if Mitchell's on the floor, chances are most of the starters are on the floor, and maybe that's less playing time for the bench players, right? These bench players, Proctor, Travers, Bryant, they probably do good when Mitchell is on the bench. Maybe it's a blowout and the second and third units are getting more run, right? So these are the natural play-by-play correlations that we're viewing. What the slider does is it amplifies those correlations. So it makes the positives more likely to show up in lineups together, and then it makes the negatives even less likely to show up in lineups together. So think about it as amplifying the correlation in both the positive and negative directions. This is why you get stacks with SaberSim without setting rules. You know, if you load up a hockey slate for tonight, correlation is going to be higher. You're going to get 4-3-1s. You're going to get 5 stacks, 6 stacks naturally without having to set any rules. It's because, one, we understand the player correlations and that they're high. And then, two, we're going to amplify them even more to get stacks. So that's correlation. Sim diversity controls how many sims we use each time we build a lineup. So if you and I both loaded up SaberSim at the same time, ran a lineup, ran a build, we would not get the same lineups. The reason for that is because of the sim diversity slider. The simplest way to understand this are at the extremes. So at 10 sim diversity, we're taking one sim of each game on the slate, playing it out to create a slate simulation, and then building the best lineup we can, and then putting that lineup into your pool. When we go to build lineup 2, we randomly grab one new sim of each game. So there are exponentially high number of ways you can combine all of the different sims, and we have 25,000 sims of each game on the slate. Sim diversity 0 uses all of the sims. So all of the sims would be the number that you see in the projection column. This is how many points Jokic scores on average. At 0, we are using this number. So if we both ran a build on 0-0 correlation sim diversity, we actually would get the same lineups because now we're just using the average projections and the average is going to be the same for both of us. Everything in between is a sliding scale. So at 10, we're using one sim. 9, we're using more sims. And then the lower the sim diversity goes, the more and more sims we're using until we get to 0 where we're using all of the sims. Now, I don't know exactly how many sims we are using between 9 and 1, but I know it grows. Say it goes 5 and then 20 and then, you know, 100 and then 200, 300. And it just grows and grows and grows until you get all of the sims at 0. So that is a breakdown of the correlation and sim diversity sliders. All right. I think we're all caught up here. A lot of good questions today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.